Hello, welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight is our regular Wednesday installment of our program Recovery Now with your host, Kim Justice. If you'd like to know more about my story, you can find it at inaflash.org. I too am a fellow traumatic brain injury survivor. I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and as always, I look forward to your input. So now, we'll get on with the show. Well, good evening, everybody, and happy hump night from somewhere in Middle America. Welcome to Brain Injury Radio, Recovery Now, with your host, Kim Justice. Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week. We are aired all over the United States and 36 countries. All of our live shows are immediately archived for on-demand listening, free on-demand listening. Somebody brought that question up the other night. They were thinking of cable and on-demand always cost you more. Not so in this case. We definitely have free listening. So you never have to be alone in your recovery. 24/7, you can pick up Brain Injury Radio programming and hopefully find some solace, validation, identification, and help there. I also want to take care of a couple other housekeeping bits. I see my guest hasn't made it onto the chat board yet. I'm sorry, onto the switchboard yet. You guys will have to forgive me. I'm in the middle of a move situation. And hi, Les Paul. I see you out in the crowd. Sorry I didn't make it to your show last night. I fell on my face at 7 o'clock and was snoring and drooling into my couch pillow. I woke up about, 1 o'clock in the morning, came in and did what I need to do to the studio at the end of the night and tried to post my shows. And I'm limping in here tonight. I may have to put on a song and go find my guest's phone number. I did verify that we were going to be on tonight, and that may or may not be him that just came up. Wrong area code, but we'll try it. What the heck? In any case, I was going to read you a little announcement here while I'm in the process of housekeeping. And Lori Purdy Fatel is a Wednesday night host before me. She's on every other Wednesday. In fact, she was on tonight before me. So let's see. I don't even know what the date is at this time. I believe that would make her the second and fourth Wednesday of every month. She sent out a memo I haven't yet been able to post, and so I'm just going to read it to you guys. I think you'll find it most helpful, and you might want to have a pen handy. She says, "Hi, I would like to ask a favor. We are LinkedIn friends because we have similar interests. You should know by now that I'm an advocate, professional, friend, and survivor of the brain injured. The favor, I would like to ask that you pass the following information to your connections, put in this newsletter, or send via email to everyone you know. Now with that, folks, I can copy you this, and you can get a hold of me if you would care to do that, post it on your social networking sites or email to your friends." But she says, "Do you know someone who has suffered brain injury, concussion, contusion, axonal injury, closed head injury, traumatic brain injury, acquired brain injury, anoxia, hypoxia, dementia, tumor, stroke, aneurysm, amnesia, Parkinson's disease, brain cancer? A survivor support line is now available to provide telephone support to those who suffer from all levels of brain impairment. The number 4 peer, P as in Paul, EER 11, is a survivor run, funded, and operated and managed emotional helpline, We do not give medical advice, but we do have two compassionate ears. We have survived some form of brain injury or are a supervisor who is significant in the life of a survivor. The number to call is 855-473-3711, or in other words, 855-4-PEER-11. Live operators are available from 9 to 9 Pacific Standard Time. If a call comes when an operator is not free, please do leave a message and they are returned on a regular basis. Again, the number to the peer support line is 855-473-3711. And that is a message from Lori and a great message to pass on. So not only do you have Brain Injury Radio, is one of the largest and most inclusive brain injury peer support lines from around the world with these shows, both live and in archive, but we also have the peer support line as well where people can call. So we think that is just fabulous. I want to thank our sponsor tonight, our sponsors tonight, and that would be who would that be? That would be TBI Survivor Network for sponsoring Brain Injury Radio, and of course the wonderful Lash Publishing for sponsoring my show, Recovery Now. If you check out lapublishing.com, you'll find Lash Publishing's site, and I tell you guys, I know some of you get sick of me telling you, but Lash is just a wonderful publishing house that does only brain injury related material. Material that is geared towards survivors, caregivers, neuroprofessionals, and other interested parties. They also have a magazine called Brain Injury Journey. And if you go to that link, once again, their new issue has just been released, so if you haven't signed up before, this would be a wonderful time. You just look for Brain Injury Journey on their homepage, click that link. It will take you to a page where you can either subscribe to the hard copy to be sent to your home, or scroll down where it says free, can't beat the price, online version of the magazine, and it'll be sent to you. You're also able to get back copies, so when you look and see what each of their magazines has dealt with, if something tickles your fancy, you can request that magazine as well. So I encourage you to do so. Let's see. Recovery Now is a gathering place for anyone seeking recovery from the challenges of life on life's terms. I introduce topics and guests share their experience, strength, and hope. We discuss useful tools that have helped us lighten the load of our journey through recovery. More will be revealed. This is a We recovery program because it is in the We that we discover the new me. We focus on the four A's of recovery: awareness, acceptance, action, and adaptation. This is a place for survivors striving to become thrivers. Some nights we'll have a featured guest, like tonight. Others will introduce a topic of recovery, encouraging callers to join in the discussion. The second part of the show is open mic and some great indie music sure to inspire. Again, I'm your host, Kim Justice, author of In a Flash, Miracles Here and Beyond, found at inaflash.org, and or you can quote unquote like me at facebook.com/inaflash.org. That would also be the places that you can reach me if you have any questions or comments about anything we do on the show or anything you'd like to hear about. Feel free. The numbers to call in tonight, and for those of you who haven't been here before, I do my interview with the guest for the first part of the show without interruption because I'm a brain injury survivor, as are all of our hosts. Many of our guests are as well. And if I, on my show, everybody, we all do it a little bit different, but if I stop and unmute the mic all the way, then I lose track and I'm off the rails. And since I'm half off the rails right now anyway, this would not be particularly a good time to change my comfort zone. So I am going to be happy to have any questions or comments when the guest and I are finished talking, and I'll signal you at that time. And you can call in on 424-243-9540. Or you can call toll-free in the U.S., 855-473-3711 in the U.S., and 202-559-7907 free outside the U.S. This link, if you're on Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter or Tweeter or Blog Talk Radio or Brain Injury Radio or any of the zillion places we stream from and you're looking at a link, I want you to know that that link is not only good for this live show, but it is also good for the archive version as well. So with that, I think I'm going to read you, and this hasn't happened before, so unless he switched numbers on me, I'd really like to check the one person who's on my board right at the moment, make sure that that is my guest, but I will read his introduction. And actually, folks, what I might do real quick just to make sure we've got the right person is, if you don't mind and you can indulge me for just a moment, I am going to play a 3-minute song for you. I'd see if I could find a shorter one, but I think you'll like this song. And then I'm going to be back. I'll verify that I have my guest in the queue here, and if not, going to go get his number, and we'll do a little dial-out from the studio tonight. I don't want to waste all of the great words here in his introduction, so I'm just going to make sure. This is a song by... Hello, Jenny, out in the audience. Always such a pleasure to see you, and great to see you on a Wednesday night. This is Lily Kershaw with As It Seems, and I'll be back in 3 minutes with somebody.
Well, I knew what I didn't want to know, and I saw where I didn't want to go, so I took the path less traveled on, and I'll let my stories be whispered when I'm gone. When I'm gone, when I'm must find something to live for, 'cause when the darkness comes a-calling, you go back to where you were before. 'Cause this life is as fragile as a dream, and nothing's ever really as it seems. As it seems. As it seems.
cause when the darkness comes a-calling, you'll go back to where you were before. Cause this life is as fragile as a dream, and nothing's ever really as it seems.
Lily Kershaw with As It Seems, and it appears I should have played a little bit longer of a song. Are you guys able to hear me? Can you hear me now? I did mute for a second. Just want to make sure. There. Hear me? And I am going to text our guest, actually. And if you'll just bear with me for a moment. I don't think that, okay, you are on now. How does that text sound? 424, we'll give him the message again, 424-243-9540. Okay, I just sent him a text. And apparently you guys can hear me, because you're not saying that you can't. Okay, well, what I'm going to do is read you his introduction, and then if he's not on, I'll have a couple comments to make. I thought it was going to be real interesting that Thank you, you guys. I wasn't sure when I ran back to the other room to get his number. There he is. Good. And hopefully Rick can hear me now. I see that he's popped up on the board, so we often have a little congestion on the phone lines here, and so I'm going to go ahead and continue now. I didn't want to read the introduction to the guest before he got here, and heard all this good stuff about himself. But Rick Razzio is the founder of Veterans for Compassionate Care and has worked for the last 8 years to bring a veterans-based cannabis therapy program to development. As the only cannabis provider to provide insight into the cannabis business model to a sitting governor, Governor Brian Schweitzer of Montana, his goal has been to develop a business model that would provide a cost-effective program that provided transparency and regulation. Being the only Medicaid spend-down approved cannabis therapy provider, Mr. Rosio's groundbreaking efforts to bridge the gap of the business world with the cannabis culture, as cannabis therapy is being recognized as the least toxic method of treating long-term pain and overall awareness among the injured and aging population base. A supporter of hospice and the no-kill animal shelters, Mr. Rosio is an ardent classical organist and member of St. He can tell me, Church of Spokane. And I do want to say that the rest of the team, and I'm sure he won't mind, is on his site, which I'm going to be giving you guys repeatedly shortly, Veterans for Compassionate Care. Rick is the founder, but he also has a very credible team that works with him. Dr. Dennis Petro, MD, is a board-certified neurologist with over 30 years' experience in post-residency career at the FDA and conducted the FDA advisory meeting, which defined the use of aspirin as primary prevention of stroke and advised Congress in writing the Orphan Drug Act of 1983. He conducted the first study of a cannabinoid, THC, in treatment of muscle spasms in spasticity. While working with the pharmaceutical industry, he developed a number of drugs for treatment of Parkinson's disease, chronic pain, depression, cognitive impairment, and seizure disorders. He testified in support of medicinal cannabis at the DEA rescheduling hearing in 1986 and consulted with the Institute of Medicine in preparation of IOM report on medical marijuana in 1997. He has been recognized as an expert in neurology and pharmacology by both the state and federal court systems of the USA as well as Canada and the United Kingdom. And also another person in the team, and Rick is going to tell us all about this, but I just wanted you guys to know, and I'll make a brief comment and then I'll shut up and bring him on and let him talk the rest of the time with just a few assorted questions until you guys are on. But I'm making a point and reading all of this to you. Al Byrne is a retired LCDR of the U.S. Navy Supply Corps who served in Vietnam, among numerous other places. He is the COO and co-founder of Patients Out of Time and a board member of Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access. Mr. Byrne has served on the planning committee and as a program moderator for Patients Out of Time's biennial conference series since the year 2000. Mr. Byrne is an expert in post-traumatic stress among combat veterans and served as a peer counselor for Vietnam veterans with PTSD. He has had numerous articles published on the use of medical cannabis, is an expert witness in the area of medical cannabis, and he is the co-host of two weekly radio shows on Time for Hemp Network. Now, the reason I bring this up is because, as most of us know, medicinal cannabis is a controversial in some circles, in many circles. In fact, a lot of the places that we broadcast to, so I have to say that our network doesn't condone or deny, we inform. And so I'll be happy to hear Rick inform tonight. But one of the reasons why I was very interested in having him on after I read his site, talked to him, and read about his team is that I've watched a number of shows about medicinal marijuana. Some have been good, cannabis. Some have been good, Discovery Channel, National Geographic Channel. Some of them have been productive and good, and others have been people who I'm afraid shoot the foot in their own credibility because they're doing bong hits and eating Cheetos while they're talking about the topic. And I, like many of you out there, have heard over and over and over again on these shows that the SSRIs and other big pharma drugs that are getting pelted at our veterans and our civilian population are causing horrendous side effects in many and suicide in the case of many others. Cannabis is a plant that's been around for a long, long time. Back in the 60s, I remember growing up as a kid, and they would show those drug awareness films, and it would show people having hallucinations and things, and it totally did not depict cannabis as it really is, for one thing. And number two, I've always thought, and in my younger days, I will tell you, I did a little bit of everything. It was self-medicinal, not the medicinal we're talking about here. And I got to tell you, I always thought cannabis got a bad rap for being called the gateway drug because I don't think there's anyone that's ever picked up a joint that didn't pick up booze out of their parents' bar cabinet first. And so I was very interested to talk to someone because the word is out there more and more and more about medicinal cannabis being a viable solution to many different ailments that we are going to be talking about, and I wanted to find a credible source to talk about it. And obviously, with the pedigree I just read on these three gentlemen, Rick, the founder, and the other two in his team. We know we have people that are working very hard with legislators to help change the law and make this thing happen and be just as viable and probably a more productive solution than some of the pharmaceuticals that are floating around out there right now. So at this time, I'd like to bring on Rick. Can you hear me? Are you with me?
I sure am. Good evening. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks so much for being on with us tonight. I'm really happy. I've been reading through your website during the week, and I'm really impressed with the things that you guys are doing, and I just wanted you to have the platform tonight to be able to talk to an audience that, as you heard me say earlier, primarily survivors of brain injuries, many of whom are veterans, but your message, while it is in the veteran platform now, obviously translates at some point into the civilian population as well with TBI and PTSD, neuroprofessionals like the person on your team, caregivers who are desperate for ways to help the survivors that they're caring for, and other interested parties who just want to be informed of what's going on and not believe that the old movies of the 60s are true, that we sprout two heads and start having acid trips, you know, if we take a puff off of a cannabis cigarette or a pill, or I understand it comes in food and all kinds of things. I'm going to rely on you, the expert, to start talking in a moment and tell us. But why don't you tell us just a little bit about your history and what brought you to the point of becoming the founder of this organization, and then elaborate. What we'll do is just kind of start at the beginning, a little of your background, progress into what brought you, what circumstances brought you up to where you founded this company, and then reiterate and not embellish, but color in the blanks I left on really the powerful things that you're trying to do to get this legislation passed and why you've become such a believer.
Well, thank you very much for an absolutely wonderful introduction, and I'm very humbled by your kind words. I began to become interested in the healing potentials of the cannabis plant when, as a person who's suffering from an autoimmune disease, HIV, I began to experience a MRSA infection on my body and from a surgical procedure, and I contracted it while at the Cleveland Clinic. And unfortunately, it became very aggressive, and by the time they had it under control, by the time I was able to begin functioning again, I had become, my morphine levels were at approximately 220 milligrams a day. So my life was, I was basically dying, and in that process, I moved to my sister's home in Montana to basically pass with family there. And while there, they had just passed their medicinable cannabis law. My sister took advantage of that program. I enrolled in it and convinced a Mormon doctor, if he would give me the opportunity to have a permit, I would like to better my life. I felt it would give me some chance at reducing my opiate dependency. And within 90 days, I was opiate-free and have maintained that since. And as I began to see that it was able to replace and deal with pain levels, that I became active, I wasn't lethargic, I was able to think clearly that my pain levels decreased, I began to do my own research. Subsequently, we had a legal company in the state of Montana that Governor Schweitzer came to visit, and we set up as a clinical model designed to provide care to those that were truly suffering. The aged, those with very serious illness, the veterans community, and the those that were dependent upon public financing, those people, our neighbors that live on $720 or $640 a month and struggle just to make ends meet. So our program was designed so it became cost effective. And we did sliding scale. We provided free hospice. And my work began to focus more and more on the end-of-life issues and the interaction with the cannabis plant. So in 2011, mm-hmm. when the laws changed because of the Tea Party in the state of Montana, we shut down our program. And when our last hospice patient passed that we were caring for, and he is in the video that you've seen called It's a Montana Issue on YouTube, and it is a documentary we put together for the legislature about five of our hospice clients speaking from their deathbeds of the importance of this therapeutic program and pleading for the legislature to not change the program. And effectively what happened in Montana, the Tea Party came into power, they changed the law and made all of the programs basically impossible to operate, and all of us were forced to shut down that weren't persecuted or by the purge in 2011 by the DEA in the state of Montana. So I bought a small farm in northern Washington. I began to continue working on the veterans program, which has taken many years to move forward. I began to perfect the 45 plant equation, and we for 16 months lived a very idyllic life in northern Washington until, unbeknownst to us, we lived within the 50-mile exclusion zone of Homeland Security.
Oh,
and
my.
That means that our completely legal process under Washington State, compliant in every manner, completely transparent with the local law enforcement. In fact, all of our licenses were down there just so they knew. We lived a private life on 5 acres that was gated and fenced for our service dogs. And Homeland Security came. We were charged and facing 80 years by the federal government because the federal government considers one plant, one gram illegal, and unfortunately it was viewed like we were growing on federal territory because 50 miles from the border is Homeland Security, not the states. So it took a battle, and when the U.S. attorneys were done, they were very gracious in the federal judge because they reviewed our work and they saw who we cared for and why we did it. Our books were transparent. We received probation. And I have continued to develop and build this veterans program that is now united both patients out of time, the Phoenix Tears Foundation, Dr. Janet Sweeney, Tim Tipton, Rick Simpson, the pioneer of that organization, who have been very gracious in uniting with us so that we can present a unified cannabis program that provides therapeutic, knowledgeable therapeutic services to the cancer community, to those that are suffering from the ravages of aging that we all are facing, who choose not to use the handfuls of prescription medications, but a smaller and smaller amount. And as time goes forward, those drugs that can be effectively replaced with cannabis can be done so. Those that cannot will not be so. But if we have common sense, and we say, is it better to have a life and have our loved ones who are suffering difficult challenges because of injuries that they've sustained in service to this nation? For example, in behalf of our veteran community, many face very, very serious challenges, and they still want to go on living. And our goal is to provide them with the least sick alternative to pain management and wellness, to help them manage their PTSD, to help them with the inability to sleep. We can do that for less than $1 a day with extracts.
And wow.
We're really very blessed. I have wonderful news that today we on our board of directors, Mr. Joseph Freeland from the National Cannabis Pharmacy Association has agreed to come on our board of directors. And he comes from the Specialty Pharmacy Association. And they are now looking at the therapeutic applications of cannabis therapy in over 26 states and soon to continue to evolve. And they want to be informed. They want to be able to be, positive, to continue in the role that they have that they are responsible in managing, you know, people that come to them for their medicines. And cannabis, when used therapeutically, can benefit many in many instances. What we see in veterans is a reduction in opiate dependency, in the benzodiazepines, and the prescription medications such as Ambien that are used to treat sleeping disorders. Instead of using all of those medications, 40 milligrams of an indica-based plant extract in a cookie with a glass of milk, and they have 6 hours of peaceful sleep, no toxic hangover, no addiction issues, no tremors, no psychotic acting out while in a stupor. Those are the side effects from those pills that they give.
Yes.
And unfortunately, we all have loved ones, all of us, that have suffered injuries and are dependent upon ever-increasing doses of opiates. No matter how strong morally we are, how righteous we are in our positions, all of us fall prey to that simple element in dealing with long-term pain management. And cannabis therapy offers us the ability to keep those opiate levels at a minimum while utilizing dosed cannabis extracts. And that's what we're about. It's not about sitting around doing the Cheech and Chong environment. That is a social environment that is recreational. That is not what we're about. We're about following Professor Raphael Meshulam's work in Israel. In fact, you know, I was going to recommend to your listeners, if there are a couple of wonderful, wonderful articles that they can read by simply Googling brain trauma and cannabis therapy. And when they do that, utilizing Google, they'll come upon studies by Professor Raphael Meshulam, studies, when they pop it up, the very first thing that comes up are cannabinoids and brain injury therapeutic implications. And that's by Professor Raphael Meshulam from Hebrew University, who founded and discovered the THC molecule. He has been an absolutely wonderful, wonderful advocate in helping design a low toxic application for dealing with pain and trauma. Remember, in Israel, not only do the military suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, but their civilian population, who are besieged by rockets and such.
Absolutely.
Right. So it's really a wonderful time as we move forward. So when the cleansing, as I like to say, by the federal government, because basically it vindicated our management style. They looked at all of our work for 7 years, and I was very humbled that I didn't end up in prison, as far too many have, for doing the same work I have.
Yes.
And that's just an unfortunate reality, and I hope and pray that our good citizens, whether you're pro-cannabis or not, the one thing that I ask of all people of faith is for them to consider that this is a social justice issue. And doing the corporal works of mercy, caring for the sick, bringing laughter to the dying, bringing hope again to people who've lost that. That's what we do. And all of us, each one of us, have the ability to do that by not only listening to those that are suffering around us, but by voting properly, by asking our elected officials, our neighbors, our fellow citizens we put into those offices, because they're supposed to be representative of you and I, and they're supposed to listen to us. And for far too long, we've allowed ourselves to become caught up in being angry because things aren't perfect. And in my world, I deal with suffering and dying every day, and I listen to far too many young men and women who've lost hope because of the difficult roads they're faced with. So I believe that laughter is still the best medicine, that it's not just about CBD extracts, but it is about blends, and it's about the proper dosing. Far too many of the edibles that we see are dosed far too high, And that's something that's working its way now through the industry. But following Professor Mashulam's dosing recommendations, a 15 milligram oral spray pump in a dose 3 to 4 times a day, in many cases can do miraculous things for people in their pain management. Juicing mm-hmm. whole plant, just like you do celery. You can grow yeah. cannabis plant like you do chives and have mm-hmm. and cut them off at 3 to 4 weeks and juice the plant then, or you can take a whole plant and then grind it and juice it just like you would any other medicinal plant and herb. And,
sure, and it's
that's
green.
One of the wonders of this. Yes, it's not the most pleasant tasting thing. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Have the Beano around. That's the one thing I recommend. keep the Beano around. But you stay healthy. You know, yes. it's an amazing thing. What will be forgotten is when they conjured up this concept that hemp, the plastics industry wanted the hemp industry gone. Mr. Hurst and that group made the decisions to, you know, destroy the hemp production. When they outlawed the medicinal and therapeutic use of cannabis sativa and cannabis indica out of the pharmacopoeia, it was done based on a racist, bigoted positions. If we took the congressional transcripts of the trial and the hearings and we simply read them with characters and let people listen to it, they would laugh at it out loud. Mm-hmm. But that, unfortunately, is the reality upon which Richard Nixon, in his fear of the counterculture of the pot-smoking Jews and hippies and the long hairs that were destroying and making his war in Vietnam impossible. Right. Remember, there was great internal strife during the 60s, and they blamed it on the cannabis use. And if you listen to the Nixon tapes, they're available. You can listen to the comments. One shakes one's head. And that's why it's a Scheduled One. And unfortunately, today, we are in transition, and it is one very blessed time for the sick and for those that wish to support them in supportive industries. And, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing. What we're doing with our program model called Veterans for Compassionate Care, we have a two-phase program. First, we're starting with the Claire Center for Peace based in Spokane, Washington, which is the former retreat center for the Sisters of Sacred Heart. So it has been a place of prayer and meditation and of healing for many, many years. And this is going to be a 20-bed, 28-day inpatient polysubstance abuse program to help veterans stabilize some of the toxic medications and help them begin their opiate reduction using dosed extracts of cannabis. So all of our clients will be enrolled in Washington State's medical cannabis program, and we will help through behavioral health, good food, and therapy to help them understand that life is certainly worth living, and we can help them get off of the toxic prescriptions. And into the second phase of this program that we're doing is a 17,000 square foot hospital in Deer Park, Washington, that the Sisters of Providence have. And we're proposing to build a 60-person assisted living for the severely injured Middle East war veterans, to have a 5-acre facility for them to have wonderful, wonderful care. And though every one of them would have access to vaporized cannabis or cannabis therapeutics as part of their treatment protocol. But it would just be a therapy that they could participate in. But it would be designed to be a shining example of what the cannabis community gives back to our veterans. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing. And we have all of these wonderful experts and doctors and scientists and medical academics coming forward, good citizens, veterans from OIF-3, Sergeant Mark DePasquale, Staff Sergeant Mark. Yeah, Gino is a wonderful guy, and he's got a great team of Operation Iraqi Freedom and Operation Enduring Freedom, which is the Afghanistan conflict, and they're participating mm-hmm. as founders. We have Mary Lynn Mathers and Al Byrne from Patients Out of Time as founders. We have just a wonderful, wonderful group of committed religious people. Brother Fred O. Mercy from the Mercy Foundation, he's a Jesuit brother whose work has been dealing with the homeless and those in suffering. He has been a peace activist and a nationally recognized one as a radical Jesuit in his many younger years. And the guiding hands of Fred and really good, compassionate citizens have allowed us to bring this forward now and develop it so that we can take this into every state that has a national, I mean, that has a compassionate cannabis law. And then in time, our goal is to have a program that the VA will offer at all of its services, at all of its sites as a therapeutic service. That's a big fight, but we're going to try to take it on. So that's the short elevator pitch.
Yeah. I did want to read, three things come to my mind, if I can remember them. One of them was back in the beginning when you said you got that first boot, let's say, from a Mormon person. I found that interesting because, you know, Mormons don't drink, smoke, they don't even drink coffee or tea, you know, have never smoked a cigarette in their life, don't drink alcohol,
right.
And so you would think that would be the most least likely faction.
Oh, no, I've had
people
great conversations.
Who would be supporting you.
No, no,
just
I've actually,
general.
You know, it's been an interesting, as a person of faith myself, I have looked at this from its compassionate aspect in helping ease suffering. And in doing so, I have spoken with Mormon bishops about their members of their community who are suffering from cancer or severely intractable pain. And they have taken a very enlightened position. The church as a whole sees it more as a moral issue, but I believe one-on-one, those that live in the communities, you know, there's a difference from those that live amongst those they serve and those that administer from afar. And it always seems that those that administer things from afar lose touch and they forget where they came from and who they're taking
yes.
care of. And mm-hmm. it's very indicative of our political class today who shamelessly allow our veterans to languish, shamelessly play politics over nuances and petty differences. And I find it despicable. And I say simply this, that we as a society, if we can't elect 450 more worthy persons to put into Congress, then we deserve what we get. But we should elect our neighbors. There should be doctors and teachers. There should be real doctors, not somebody that gives themselves a degree. A real doctor. I wanted them, if they say there's no climate change, they can't have an elected position. If you say cannabis should be prohibited, you can't be elected. If you believe that the corporations shouldn't pay their taxes, you shouldn't be elected, because what we've gone away from what we are as a society. And we've become very centered on what's in it for me, and I want to take care of myself. And that's really cool when people say that when they have things. But we as a society are judged by how we take care of the injured, how we take care of the disadvantaged.
Yes.
And if we can afford to build a billion-dollar plane and we can't afford food stamps for suffering children or our military families, we can't take care of our elderly, and I find anyone who advocates otherwise or obfuscates, that's making $179,000 or $149,000 and change, and plus all the endorsements and the legal bribery they get from their PACs, for them to go there and say that, you know, this is just a lesson we all need to learn, I find that it's unworthy. And what we do as a cannabis community is we are also very, very active politically, because it doesn't matter if you're progressive or conservative, we all die and we all suffer. And I've taken care of religious holy men. I have taken care of priests, children, young teenagers dying. I've taken care of Richard Butler's stepson, the neo-Nazi. And I've had to sit with them, and I've listened, and I've watched them evolve, and I've watched them face death, some good, some not good. But the one thing is, we all end up there, and the goal is to go out laughing with people that are compassionate and surrounded by compassionate people. And if we can't learn and express that in our governing and our structure, then we've really, really lost the ability to communicate. And I have not lost that ability to talk. And I want people, your listeners, to think about what I've said and to go talk to their loved ones and engage them. Engage them over coffee. Engage them over a dinner. When's the last time you invited somebody over to your home and sat down with a good meal with two or three couples, four or five people, and talked about how do we better our town? How do I better my neighborhood? You know, the federal government took my little five-acre farm that I had tucked away in North. It was beautiful. I had raspberries and a hoop house and a permanent greenhouse and chickens and just as beautiful as you could want. My Newfoundland, my big dogs loved it. I had birds, and it was God-inspired. I hung 3 8-foot timbered green crosses on my gates, and I took care and contributed to my community positively. And when they took that, I could have been very, very angry and bitter, like far too many people are when they suffer loss. But I had to start over. And today, the man that let me stay in a home free while I fought the federal government, I bought the little house from him in a not really, a neighborhood in transition. But I decided to stay there and put down roots and help change the little neighborhood I live in for the next 2 years while we continue doing this.
Good
and by
you.
Doing so, I made a commitment to give back to my community. And I'm able to walk downtown and go across the river and enjoy the flowers in the park or the arts in the theater. And then in 5 minutes, I'm back to my home. And in time, other people will realize that if you leave, they win. If we give up, they win. And we are the majority. We're a compassionate majority of conservatives, of liberals, of progressives, of libertarians, of atheists, of people of faith, of Buddhist and Hindu and everything in between. And we're good people, and we deserve a government that governs compassionately and wisely, and we just simply need to now move forward. And part of what we do, my dear, is to help those that cannot speak for themselves anymore. I know you do. And those caregivers that take care of those people, that sit with them, you know, laughing with your loved ones is an important thing. I've taken care of many traumatic head injury patients. And cannabis therapy, when it's used with a traumatic brain injury, is used in very low doses. Very, very low. And that's something very important for your listeners to understand. It is not to become intoxicated and loopy. But because of the unique variables with brain injury, I'm sure that any physician that would be listening would advocate that and cannabis is a mild intoxicant. We have to remember that. That's how it works. And while only a small percentage is ingested, if you're using a vaporizer bag, or you could use a 5 milligram hard candy, but a 5 milligram dose, but no more than that under any circumstances, because it will work therapeutically. Those that my friends with brain injuries that I've seen, their experiences have always been that a lower dose is a very effective dose. So it's
I want
to
break in
consider.
There for just one moment and accentuate that, because again, back to the foot shooting and why you tonight is that too many people that I've heard advocating for this type of thing are not doing that limited dose you're talking about. Every time they feel, anything, you know, I mean, an inch of whatever it would be, what it smacks of to me with my history, is not somebody using it medicinally, which means dosed, your main point there, and proper dosing, but they're using it more like an addict. And it's very hard to hear somebody advocating for the medicinal use of cannabis who is blowing a joint while they're doing it. It's just, it hurts
right.
your cause. And so one of the reasons I wanted you on tonight is because, you know, there's a lot of people doing it, but they are treating it just like, and there is no difference, by the way, whether it's cannabis or the people, you said it had a slight intoxicant. Well, so does morphine. So do the SSRIs, you know, so do the anti-anxiety drugs, the PTSD drugs. They all have a hell of a lot more chemicals in there that are not only going to make people loopy, as you say, but give them side effects, and people have the potential to abuse those and also treat medicine different than they treat addiction. So I wanted to very much emphasize what you were saying about the form it comes in and how careful you are about the dosing. And one thing I just wanted to read real quick off your website, summary of treatable conditions, medical cannabis dosing standards. And you list a number of conditions here, and I have one, someone in my family has one, and I know listeners/patients out there who have these. And so I wanted to read your whole list, but chronic pain symptoms. For example, I have fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue, and from nerve damage, I think it started as a neuropathy from nerve damage when I had a craniotomy in my head, and I believe, and again, this isn't a doctor speaking because the doctors don't always have the knowledge. I've learned more from my listeners here as a host in 2 years than I did in the 17 years before from the medical professionals, but you know, it seems to me my neural pathways were damaged when I got the brain surgery, and then later it manifest as an extended or secondary pain condition. And the reason I'd substantiate that is because there's a lot of statistics right now coming to the surface that people, pardon me, who have suffered brain injury are more likely statistically to develop a secondary condition like Parkinson's, dementia, or Alzheimer's, and they've got the science to go with it. So going back to your list, PTSD, chronic pain syndromes, traumatic brain injury, CTE, which maybe you can tell me what that is in a minute, epilepsy, neurodegenerative diseases such as Parkinson's, rehabilitation and palliation, HIV palliation, cancer palliation and rehabilitation, spasticity palliation and rehabilitation, multiple sclerosis, spinal cord injury, tremor, seizure disorders, migraines, inflammatory bowel diseases, and primary anorexia. So there is a list of conditions on here. And I know for a fact that they're doing this kind of thing with, you know, a drug, for example, like, let's say, Cymbalta. You know, that came out originally as, I think it was an anti-anxiety drug or maybe an antidepressant. And now they're marketing it, they're choosing to dual market it, that, not only does it help with your whatever, your anxiety, but it also cures your pain conditions. Really?
I will say this. I am not a physician or a scientist, so I will not
comment
on.
Same.
No, so I'm not, I will not engage in that. I will simply offer this thought. That list that you've read, if your clients simply go to cannabismd.com, cannabismd.com, they will find resources where they can look at multiples of disorders. So let's pick something that could be relevant to a head trauma person, shall we?
Sure.
If you've experienced head trauma, it's quite possible that you're suffering from spasms.
Yes.
Correct? And yes, there would be pain associated because there probably is a spinal injury as well. Fractured vertebra,
right,
fused vertebrae, could be something. So let's just pick that.
And migraines are huge.
And migraines.
TBI,
so, right,
and epilepsy,
right,
seizure,
sure,
disorders, we'll say.
Right.
So a lot of those things dovetail together out of the,
right,
list that you gave.
So what
go
you
on.
Use, one of the unique things about the cannabis, with cannabis therapy, is that each strain of cannabis has unique qualities that seem to affect certain illnesses differently. And if you, for sleep disorders, we would use an indica plant, which is grown in the higher elevations. It's a more mountainous plant. A sativa, cannabis sativa, is a tropical plant. It's a very large plant. It takes a long time to come forward, 10 to 11 months. They're grown in the tropical conditions. They have a higher, they have a more medicinal effect on women. They seem to work well with the hormonal system of the female, and also, mm-hmm, they have a very high tendency to be a very uplifting and very mood elevating type effect on all people. So,
mm-hmm,
now we have the variables, and now they've been blending different plants, and they've been working for many years. There's a company called Dinafem out of Madrid, Spain, who has, they have been doing research for generations. There's companies out of Holland who are also doing the European studies, because many places around the world, this has not been taboo. So when we,
right,
remove the politics, we look at what research is available, and unfortunately, the only American research that was ever granted was granted through NIDA, the National Institute of Drug Abuse, and the only way you could get permission to do a study was if it was going to have a negative outcome. And if it wasn't part of the protocol that this is what we're going to get, you didn't,
right,
get the approval. And that's why everybody laughs at any NIDA study. And even today, anyone credible trying to publish, everybody laughs at it, because we all,
mm-hmm,
know what the standards are. I mean, it's not hard. We can Google things these days. We can look,
right,
at the same applications. We look at their applications. So that being said, you know, we've moved beyond this into a new era of research. The University of California, Washington State University, there are universities around the country that are doing research, Northwestern, studies being done in Florida, all over, looking into the healing qualities. I have been told on very firm grounds that every major pharmaceutical company in the United States is currently doing whole plant research themselves, and they would,
mm-hmm,
be foolish not to. People are tired of the petrochemical-based pharmaceuticals. That's what we take today. We can't,
yes,
pump oil out of the ground. We're destroying the planet. We're going to have a 10-foot sea level. Where the hell are those people going? And,
mm-hmm,
and only, I mean, we just watched the politician, Marco Rubio from Florida, stand up in front of the cameras and say he doesn't believe it, that global warming is affected by humans, because he gets huge amounts of money from the oil and gas industry, from the Koch brothers. And we watch,
right,
politicians stand in front of all logic. Well, it's the same positions they take on cannabis. And they're becoming,
absolutely,
and they, right, and it's, they're just no longer worthy. So remove them. We'll put somebody in that understands science, that understands healing and understands suffering and deals with the politics that of the nation. And because we can no longer not be active in our advocacy. The reason that we are stumbling behind is because we have people who are criminals based upon their zip codes, and people who are healers and entrepreneurs based upon their zip codes. And we should not,
right,
govern that way. It should not,
no,
be illegal for people in Iowa. It should not be illegal for people in Indiana. Do you know what I mean? It just shouldn't be. It shouldn't,
well,
be illegal.
Well, I do. I think there's a weird dichotomy that I don't understand, and maybe you can help me understand,
mm-hmm,
this. But because I told you I've watched a couple of the shows, and I've watched some interesting stings. That's why I said earlier, you know, this is a a controversial show, a controversial topic, because what I don't understand is they're legalizing it in a handful of states. You know, and Colorado just did what they did. I didn't even know it was up for recreational. Everybody else, I thought it was just medicinal. But, you know, it appeared to me on a couple of those shows I watched, and it sounds like you were one of them. Maybe you were on one of these shows, but or so many people like you with the right zip code that are there operating. Now, maybe not everybody, but I saw one man who was a very straight-up guy. His family had been farmers for three generations, and it didn't work out, you know, things being what they are. Farming, you know, is getting outsourced to other countries. We can't grow a tomato in this country anymore. You know, our produce has got to come from south of the border, et cetera, et cetera. Our food's going around. So this guy, you know, it gets legalized there. And he has a family member, so like we all get exposed to people like you were talking about. He thought that that might be a good crop for him to grow. So he had a huge farm in a legal state, and the FDA just decided they, or the ATF, I guess, just decided. And I thought, God, I wouldn't be on one of the – the first thing I thought is I wouldn't be on one of those shows. Advocacy and awareness is really hard, you know, if you're going to have those kind of consequences. But he did wind up getting his huge acres and acres and acres and acres of farm burnt down, father of two little children. I don't even think he did the stuff. I think he was just a farmer who changed his crop. And he was arrested, and he was put into prison for 20 years for doing this. And I don't understand, basically on its face, if it's not legal on a federal basis, then it's just not legal if the feds decide. So what is the horseplay between the states acting like they can legalize it or not legalize it?
Well,
if
it's the end of prohibition.
Come in and
it's the end of prohibition. It's
okay,
the end of prohibition.
That's what I
look
thought.
At history. Right. If you look at history, when the big states begin to tax, just like alcohol, prohibition of cannabis is based on lies. They are based on racist laws from 1939, where the quote, I'll give you a quote from Harry Anslinger. If we don't stop it, the children will be listening. Remember this line, the children, they will be listening to that satanic music, swing and jazz.
Yeah,
that's
that
one of the quotes. those dark men will be looking at white women. White women will sleep with those dark men.
Yeah.
Except they didn't use the euphemism dark. Read historical transcripts. They're shameful. Read Nixon's transcripts, his own commission. He commissioned a report that came back that cannabis was not a threat. There was no need to view it as a criminalized effort other than the youth enjoyed it, and that's why Nixon outlawed it. Now,
today
we have organizations such as the Drug Enforcement Agency that have grown immensely powerful as paramilitary units domestically. They are in business with the Mexican cartels. They were just exposed for allowing cocaine to flow and heroin to flow from the Sinaloa cartels from 2001 until 2012, uninterrupted, so they could have data on other shipments.
No
different
that.
Than they did with Iran-Contra in flooding the United States with cocaine in the 80s, so they could fund the illegal arms sales to the Contras in Honduras when Congress would not allow it. That was the whole Ollie North thing. With Reagan standing around, okay? So their business model is dependent upon this staying illegal so that they can arrest people, they can funnel, they get money for their departments and their helicopters, their tanks, they bribe local law enforcement agencies into supporting them. And example, Michelle Leonhardt, who is the director at the DEA, refuses to acknowledge the chain and constantly talks against Eric Holder's position to not prosecute in states. She takes an adversarial position that this is wrong, this is against, this is the end of society. No, it's the end of the Jim Crow laws. It is an end of the for-profit prison trade, the American slave trade, with the for-profit prison industries that are a blight upon our nation. Cannabis, there are criminals because cannabis is illegal, but it is illegal based on racist laws from the 30s and 1972. And we as a society, you, I, our Baptist neighbors, my Buddhist friends, my atheist friends, have an obligation to our communities to end this and move beyond. I support law enforcement, but I don't support this militarized version we have who kick in doors and shoot people over a plant in far too many locations.
Yeah, nor do I. I think they've got a lot of power, and I think you're right about the replay of the prohibition. And whether I do anything or not, I'm not a spring chicken. I've watched a lot of generations and what they've done, and I've never seen anyone go home and beat their wife and kick the dog who ingested cannabis versus alcohol. If it were up to me, I'd like to see alcohol because that's the true gateway drug, and it's the one that seems to make people more violent or expressive.
Well, but it's been socially acceptable, my dear, for thousands of years. It is the European bloodlines have actually genetically remodified their livers by using alcohol to detoxify. That's why Indians and Asians are not alcohol. Fermented beverages were in certain cultures were not utilized. Indians are one
fire
of the native
water.
Indigenous.
Yeah, fire
yes, of
water.
Course. We don't detoxify it, so we become instantly alcohol intoxicated. I mean, we're poisoned right away because our livers don't detoxify it. So that
which
being
is
said,
destroying their nation right now.
Yeah,
there's
right.
a huge incidence of alcoholism.
Said, right. But, you know, we have a program that we hope to open up to the general public. My goal is to be a Medicaid, Medicare spend-down provider for the state of Washington. We're offering our program as New York State is developing its forward. We're working in Illinois, Oregon, and Colorado to develop programs. And over the next couple of months, I hope to have some wonderful news and press releases that will really show, hopefully will bless many, many thousands in different states, and it will be an honor to be a part of this team.
And I hope that when you do that, and what I'm going to do, I'm just going to read one more short thing and then see if we just have a couple questions. I know you're on East Coast time, but...
right, I have a very, very early morning.
I know. I'll hurry and then they will. But I just want to summarize with, because this is fascinating to me. They're just, like I said, whether I don't, you know, happen to, but I do believe in human rights, and that's a lot of what our show is about here. People with disabilities are not treated the same as people in the mainstream,
right.
and this is a similar proposition. But the project summary, the website you want to check out is www.veteransofcompassionatecare.org.
Veteransforcompassionatecare.org.
I'm sorry. Glad you did that. So I mistyped, and I'm Veterans of...
Veterans, Compassionate, C-O-M-P-A-S-S-I-O-N-A-T-E, Care, C-A-R-E .org.
Got it. Okay, I typed it in the chat room, folks. Veterans for CompassionateCare.org. I apologize.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Make
That's
sure
right.
to check them out, because if you might something going on in your state or you have questions about this, I'm sure that they'd be happy to answer. But the project summary for their organization is straight reduction in medical expenditures by using a closed-loop business model from the seed to final tax revenue, with time controls and full auditing provisions for any local, state, or federal regulator, direct securitization of delivery of medicine, quality assurance of pharmaceutical-grade cannabis, drug treatment programs save money, educational opportunities, home health care changes outcomes, economic drivers for the state budget, robust state job program, and public and private partnership business development. So there's a lot of business, not only doing all of the compassionate things and looking at our civil rights, but also if this is a business opportunity, it would create a lot of jobs in this country. So make sure to check out the website again one more time, veterans4compassionatecare.org. And is there, what I do want to say, if anyone has a question, the number is 424-243-9540. Again, 424-243-9540. I've seen a couple of you ask questions in the chat. Come on, ask a couple of those questions on the air. I've seen several of you ask in the chat. Let's see.
What are some of the
questions?
Okay. Questions
were, somebody asked again when you were talking about migraines, if, and I'm imagining, but you answered the question, it has to do with dosing. Migraines were definitely in your summary of treatable conditions,
yes.
But he talked about cluster migraines.
They're hard and difficult. Those are always difficult to deal with. And you know, as you increase your, as you activate your endocannabinoid system, as you begin to infuse your body with hemp and the CBD content rises within your own system, your own immune system begins to activate. And really, a lot of people find balance again with their health. I suggest strongly that anything that anybody pursues, that they do the research, print it out, and take it to their doctor and have an engaging conversation. I've always found it best to have a really honest, you know, you can demand that of your doctor. You can simply say, doctor, I've taken the time to do this. I'm going to leave this paperwork with you. Then I want to come back and talk to you about it. And they'll give you great respect.
Yeah, it'll also give doctors the impetus to maybe pay attention to it because, you know, when you talked about the politics, you know, Big
yes.
Pharma is one of the biggest funders of politics. And so just one more question that was there, and that's Monsanto. Here's an article. Monsanto plans to patent genetically modified marijuana in Uruguay. So those GMOs, we just can't get away from the freaking things, but that now they want to take over
I don't think
medical
the good
cannabis.
President. No. I don't think the good president of Uruguay, who is without a question a people, a man of the people, who puts local agricultural first, that Monsanto doesn't have any play against the geneticists that have been working in Europe nonstop. And why would you genetically modify something that God has put on here that helps and heals us in its natural form?
Well, like food, you know, that's
right,
crazy.
Right.
They'd want to get in. Right. You can see, though, you know, when they've taken over the food industry, that to
right.
take over that
right.
industry, more corporate
right.
greed, you know, I
right.
guess, and again, the politics.
You know, there's a portion of the, you know, there's a segment of the population that unfortunately can only shop at Walmart.
Yeah,
they are
oh,
restricted.
I get that.
Our
yeah.
goal is to provide a therapeutic program that regardless of your ability to pay, that you can participate with us, because those that can afford to will pay $345 a month for their medication, their CBD extracts, 3 ounces of cannabis in the raw. That's what our program does. And if they and all the extract that they need therapeutically, whether it be in butter or hard candies, whatever their program calls for. But it becomes effective because it's a sliding scale. We do it all income-based driven, no different than any other type program. So,
excellent.
You know, that's the key. That's the
right.
key. Those in hospice pay nothing. Those that are living on a very limited income pay pennies to a few dollars. Some people will pay 70, 80 on Medicaid spend down. Some will pay 120. Others will pay 345. But that's how our program will work. So that we become program driven, we're offering behavioral health, full medical direction. So you come to us for wellness and healing, and we help you with your cannabis therapy program.
Excellent. Excellent. I know you've got an early meeting. I'm at one more caller, and if you could try to make it short, I really
to
let him get to his meeting. But area code 202, you're on the line. Allie, maybe?
Hi. Good evening. Yes.
Hi.
I wanted to thank you. Hi, Kim, and good evening to your guest. I just
wanted
to thank him for coming on. Hi. I really appreciate the full-bodied, robust research that you've done. The passion is it definitely conveys that you have for this issue. And I really appreciate you educating us on so many fronts from so many different angles, whether it be historical or the sociological implications and motivations and all of that, you know, political. And it's just really enlightened me on so many fronts, and I really appreciate it. And I am a huge fan of anything in the way of alternative healing and alternative modalities for supporting individuals who have exhausted all other avenues to no avail. And I am just encouraged by what you've shared, and I thank you for just your commitment to stay in the ring, stay in the arena, and really carry the torch, right, for persons who are looking for something like this. So I thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you for the kind words. If I may, I'd like to let people know about a program, our Claire Center for Peace. If you go to our website, and on the front page, you'll see an icon that says Claire Center for Peace. And I'd like your people to click on it. And what it is, it's the beginning of our rehab model. If you think our program is worthy and you think we're doing the right things, we ask that, you know, we would accept any kindness as we move this program forward. You know, it's
gotcha.
Always not a struggle, but it is what it is. You know, we're advocates.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're now negotiating with very, very, we shall see what God brings our way, but there are some amazing people standing in the wings. And as I said, I should have some amazing news in the next few weeks, over the next few weeks. And this will empower hundreds of jobs. This will provide care for thousands and help restore hope with families. And if you think we're doing the right thing, we'd sure appreciate any kindness you'd like to bestow upon us.
You
thanks,
know, and
Rick, and I did
monetary for those in the audience. Mm-hmm. And can you give the URL again? I can't tell if
yes, I'll be happy to.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. I've got it in the chat room too already, Rick. So go ahead and say it for the audience on air.
Yes, if I may, it's www.veterans, VETERANS, FOR, Compassionate Care, CompassionateCare.org. And we're located in Spokane, Washington. And if you're ever in our area, traveling to Seattle or in Washington State, we invite you to stop by. Come see the Claire Center of Peace. Come understand what you can, how you, your family members and your friends can do this in your communities, because that's what we're doing. We're developing this so that it can be in communities all across the nation. And all it takes is commitment, compassion, and a lot of good friends. And you can move, you move mountains. So I'd like to thank you so very much. It's been an honor to be on your radio this evening. And I wish you all the best.
Well, thank you so much for being on. And I really, really do appreciate you taking out your time to spread the word. And again, this show is archived and goes all over the country and all over the world. So I hope we got that message out and thought-provoking presentation. And I'm impressed with the way you're going about it. So thank you so much for being on tonight.
Good night, my dear.
Good night. That was Rick Rozio from Veterans for Compassionate Care.org. Very interesting perspective. And I thought it was worth bringing that piece of information to the table. People are talking about it out there. So again, we're not doctors or medical professionals here. We don't advocate anything one way or another, except recovery and peer support on Brain Injury Radio. But we do like people to know the facts on a variety of different topics out there. The objectives for Veterans for Compassionate Care are to raise the quality of care for our patients while decreasing their cost, to ensure legal, safe, and secure use of medical cannabinoids, to improve the quality of life of our patients, their families, and friends, and to promote awareness about the medicinal benefits of cannabinoids, to provide a professionally controlled and monitored study program focusing on veterans' treatment for PTSD and other critical maladies unique to the population, and to strengthen the local community through hospice, therapeutic services, and charitable giving. So again, check out their website and appreciate the time he takes. You can tell the man's straight up and has a passion, and whether you agree or disagree, I try to practice. You guys always catch me doing acronyms on the radio, the HOW of recovery: honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. That doesn't mean you have to buy into something to be educated about all of the sides of the issues. Heck, if we did that, more of us would vote, and we'd get things done in the brain injury community and the disability community at large and so forth. But Rick Rozio was our guest tonight on Recovery Now, Brain Injury Radio. I'm your host, Kim Justice. I thought this would be interesting because we're going to do a back-to-back show next week, another Rick, not to be confused with this one, totally different Rick with a different perspective, who runs a Facebook page, and he'll have to give me the exact information about the name of his page. I can't think of it. I'm sorry. I've been under undue stress. But it's Brain Injury and Addictions is the name of his website. And he talks about abstinence and a relationship with God and spirituality. He takes the generic 12-step granddaddy of them all of, the original 12 steps, but then took it from its original format. And as I understand it, those original 12 steps have been adopted to 179 different types of recovery programs. But in any case, they have taken theirs to a Christian realm. So we'll have a sharp contrast between this week's show and next week's show, two different points of view about chemicals, whether they're medicinal cannabis or other chemicals in our lives, and two different ways of handling it, one advocating for it, one advocating against it, and coincidentally, both named Rick. But I really enjoyed hearing our guest tonight. what good, you know, I didn't have to read an article or a book or catch a news clip or anything. I just got to ask him and have him give a report on our show, and for that I'm grateful. So when you play back Rick and veteransforcompassionatecare.org, I admire your passion and dedication to what you're doing, and hopefully we'll get some word out for you. The next part of the show, as you all know, is open mic, so you can call in. Just say, hey, how are you? Hi, hello. And in between that, I just play some indie music, some great indie music, and sure to inspire and allow us all to kick back and downshift on a school night. And let's see, what was the last thing I was going to say? Oh. Well, for those of you that have been paying attention and know that I'm in the middle of a move situation, I want you to know that the Eagles landed today. John Cruz and Brooke from Hard Times Band, two of the indies on my playlist that you guys know and love. They didn't get a chance to meet each other yet. Being typical contractors, John was on town, and yes, once again, the Hard Times Band, must be a reason they're getting called that, because he was late again today. We did that last gig last year. He's lucky I'm not living there, because I'll be riding his patootie here pretty soon. He don't show up bright and early and get to the demo tomorrow. He'll be getting it good. I'm going to give you the numbers, and then I do have a call. Answer your call before I play a music, but again, you can call into 242-243-9540 or toll free in the U.S. 855-473-3711, or if you're outside the U.S. 202-559-7909. As always, we appreciate your support and thank you for listening. And I will reach, sorry, I'm just out of reach. I will reach area code 202 again. So I agreed with you totally about, I agreed with everything that you said. Say more.
Thank you. And I've never heard it explained quite that way. And it's just, it's eye-opening. I think it's really important when we educate ourselves. And that way it gives us a greater foundation and platform upon which to have an informed opinion, you know, as opposed to just an opinion that's not really based on credible information. And so it'll be interesting to hear the contrast when we have the other Rick on the air, but as it pertains mm-hmm. to the gentleman that was here tonight, he was just very boring in his presentation, and it was, like I said, truly eye-opening. So I thought so too.
Well, and I appreciate that, because like I said, no matter what side of the fence you stand on, I like the mm-hmm. acronym honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, because when we get to narrow of a view or something, or we really carve things in stone, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, you don't have to agree with everything everybody else does, or you don't have to do it yourself, but mm-hmm. You know, then you kind of look at, I don't know, I just see some parallels about the rights we've been talking about, just amendment rights, you know, with people in the disability community and otherwise. And so it's interesting to hear the struggles of others, and it sounds like generally trying to help, you know, a cost-effective form of medicine that, you know, if it winds up doing something bad, the big pharma stuff is provenly doing something bad, you know? So I don't know. We'll just wait and see. But I appreciated the way that he presented as a professional who's done his homework, who's dedicated, believes very much in what he's doing, has got the science and the team, you know, on his board to back it up. That's neurologist from, you know, researcher from Israel. There's quite a broad range of people that are supporting his position. So And we'll be just as respectful next week, you know. If people aren't, you know, if they're used to the traditional form of 12 steps and in that, it's very contrary to go Christian, because the whole basis of the original 12 steps is spirituality and your own idea of a higher power, not one that's been dictated, you know, within, cloaked in dogma in your childhood or something you tripped on later, you know. But 179 groups have taken them and tweaked it the way they want, and so I will respect this position just as much, you know, personal feelings, because, again, it's someone with passion who's had a brain injury, and chemicals played into his brain injury. It's part of why he has a brain injury, and so he's got a strong position too. So I think that'll be really good to have these back-to-back shows with different opinions and hear them out, you know, hear them out. That's what we do.
Thank you, Kim. Great. Good.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I'm going to play a couple of tunes. If you hit one again and put your hand down, then come back. If something comes to you and you feel like talking again, I'll just play a couple tunes. And I don't know, Les Paul must just be listening tonight or his phone broke. So in honor of the workmen in my house who better have their booties there first thing, working on them. And John did, when John showed up to bring the paint samples the other day, he did break on, Les, you'll appreciate this. He's got a couple songs he wants to do. He's going to do this gig Friday night, and I don't think, Jesus, I would like crawl there if I could, but I can't even crawl. I am freaking exhausted. But he's sang, and I just looked at him because, you know, he's a blues singer to the max, and he said he was going to sing Neil Sedaka's, what was Neil Sedaka's famous song? And I looked at him like, what are you crazy? And he starts singing in the middle of my kitchen with the Sherwin-Williams paint samples in his hand, you know, snapping his fingers and shaking it around. And I was like, oh, well, hell, that really did sound like a totally different song. It didn't sound at all like that Neil Sedaka song. When I just looked at him, I thought of all the unlikely choices that you, of all people, of what I've known of, have ever picked. That's really bizarre, but it'll be interesting to hear it, only I don't know if I'm going to hear it this Friday. And then we'll play the contractor who is a day late and going to be a dollar short. He doesn't get himself over there. He was supposed to start the day before yesterday, and he was just delivering some flooring today. So it'll be funny because John is once a Marine, always a Marine, very meticulous, got a way of doing things, and he's older. And the contractor is younger and more casual, you know, might be more of a leverage or party or whatever. And John, since he's gotten his inoperable tumor on his brainstem, I mean, he was a Marine and very disciplined before and has some age on him, but now he's got some deep spirituality, and he prayed. He gave our house a blessing today, which I felt blessed to get a blessing in our house today. That was really cool, you know, especially by a kick booty painter / musician. And so tomorrow will be real interesting because I've got to be here. There's a reason I've got to be here about something that needs to be inspected at our place for our purchaser. And so Brooke better be there on time because John's going to be showing up, and that'll be – I won't get to be the fly on the wall. They both know about each other, but I'm not going to be able to be there when they meet.
Oh, wow.
For the first time. I just said to John, go ahead and go. To be honest with you, I got so many phone calls from 5 bazillion people that are between our house, the other house, the people, the myriad of people that are doing parts of remodeling and fixing and tweaking before we move in, because we know that I'm not good with chaos in my home. Uh-huh. And so I got to ride them to get about 59 million things done. And I was getting all these phone calls yesterday. And it was pretty crazy. Like I said, I came home. I fell on my face on the couch, just dead beat, freaking exhausted. And so I'm going to do that. I'm going to be singing that other song, Crack That Whip.
I've been there, done that. I don't envy you, but I'm excited for what lay ahead. So,
me too. That's what I get into. Day at a time. I got to think how good it's going to be when it's over. I got this date, the inspection. Send up a prayer that the inspection on our house goes good next Wednesday. Because then it's just kind of waiting to close it out, and it'll be a relief to know that our house is sold. That I would have sold, I sold our house in 4 days by owner myself. Yeah.
Oh, Jim. Wonderful. Yeah.
I'm not aware of anything, but just pray for that inspection. I think it's kind of a scam. When you pay somebody $500, you think they're going to come out and say something's clean. Hell no. They're going to be nitpicking the crap out of something to justify their $500. And those people, I found out, the inspectors aren't, are not crass. They're not plumbers. They're not carpenters. They're not electricians. So they're not generally craftsmen, but they do know code, you know, so they go in and you know, just do a walkthrough, pick out anything obvious that the absolutely unexperienced might miss, and point out ramifications if they're, you know, a handy type guy. And then they know about city code, which is a lot of times just really ridiculous. I'm sorry. I've been a homeowner times four, and some of it's just baloney. But anyway, let's pray for the inspection to go great, and then we'll just be waiting until they close mid-month June, and that'll be great. We're moving on the 6th, and so by the skin of our teeth, the workmen got about a couple and a half weeks to get done, and I want to get through this. And in the meantime, I'm under an immense amount of stress trying to oversee the new people and pack here, but I hadn't really been packing because we had been showing our house and now getting these inspections and crap. So I'm going to be packing like a mofo in about a week. And so I got to crack the whip on these boys now, but I'm going to play a song by each of them, okay? And then I'll be back.
Great. Thank you, Kim.
Thanks, Allie. Yep. Okay, well, we'll start with Once a Marine, Always a Marine, and let's hope that he keeps Brooke in line tomorrow, or else, I'll know I have an ally. Let's see, which one do I want to play of his tonight? How about maybe a couple, but let's play this one. It's called With a Little Love by John Cruz. That's C-R-E-W-S. You can check out his website at johncruzblues.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/johncruzblues. Or if you like any of these songs and you want to support one of our fellow brain injury survivors who has veterans benefits and an inoperable tumor on his brain stem and is getting buried with medical bills, then go to reverbnation.com/johncruzblues. You can listen to these songs yourself and even buy one or two if it strikes your fancy. But this is John Cruz with a Little Love.
With a little love, everything is better. With a little love, we're gonna get through stormy weather. With a little tenderness.
That was John Cruise Blues, and you bet with a little love we can make it better. And now we're going to listen to Brooke, who is supposed to be here at 9 o'clock this morning, and at 1:30 came long enough to drop off half of the flooring and tell me he was sorry and he'd be back first thing in the morning 2 days later. And I'd love to be able to direct you to his site like I did to John's site, but I can't because they made a wonderful CD. Talented guy, talented contractor when he gets there and gets the job done. He's good at what he does. But they had a one CD deal because they had a Yoko moment, as is the unfortunate case with many bands, and got a divorce. So you can only hear these songs on Recovery Now on Brain Injury Radio, which makes them unique. I don't think I have any. Yeah, I do have one other like that now, but in any case, this is Hard Times Band with What About Me? And we're really going to be changing the pace.
I guess you finally had enough of me. You say it's really over, that I've done it good this time. Well, I guess it's just the way it has to be. Down the line, I can wait forever.
That was the Hard Times Band with What About Me? Very good musicians, different styles. John writes his lyrics, his music, plays the guitar, the electric guitar, blows the harmonica. What else does he do? Not much he doesn't do, and really well. Brooke is drummer and singer. I was thinking about earlier when we were talking, and we talked about honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, but that has to do with attitude. And I just was going to read a little blip in between tunes or visiting in a minute. What is an attitude? Because certainly as some people hear the interviews this week and next week, they may have a preconceived attitude. They may even maintain that attitude after. But psychologists define attitudes as a learned tendency to evaluate things in a certain way. This can include evaluation of people, issues, objects, or events. Such evaluations are often positive or negative, but they can also be uncertain at times. For example, you might have mixed feelings about a particular person or issue. Researchers also suggest that there are several different components that make up attitudes. Number one, an emotional component, how the object, person, issue, or event makes you feel. Two, a cognitive component, your thoughts and beliefs about the subject. And three, a behavioral component, how the attitude influences your behavior. So, try to tuck that in your bonnet as you absorb the earlier show. I appreciate those of you listening here tonight and participating, and on next week's show as well with the second Rick. Sorry, I don't have his name right in front of me. Again, I know you guys think I would be remiss at about this time when we're a little ways in the show if I didn't say the age-old, where is that hump day host from Middle America from? We know we have brain injury radio hosts scattered all over the country and once all over the world, but I have some memory problems because of that brain injury of mine, and where is that gal from Middle America from? And I might be tempted, as I normally am, to inform you in this way. And we all know, right? Yeah, we do. Okay, I think I'm going to, do I want to keep it snapped up or tone it down a notch? Well, we do have an hour of the show left if we make it that long. Otherwise, I guess you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. But in the meantime, I think what we'll do is play something we're all aware of, and maybe since we have an hour left in the show, we'll step it up first with our old buddy Garfan and something we all know and appreciate about our lives after we've had our brain injuries especially. And that changes our way of looking at things oftentimes and our world view. Certainly did Dale, and his wife is a brain injury survivor who has been warehoused, basically. And Dale has stayed married to Deb for 8 years, and all of his CDs, he's got about four of them, have dedications to her and have been inspired by her. But this is something we're all familiar with, Borrowed Time, and that's Garfan. So www.garfan.com or at Facebook.com/GarfanBand. Borrow Time with Garfan, G-A-R-F-A-N, Garfan. I was thinking about in the last few days, in the last couple weeks, I've been really stressed, and it's hard to, you know, if you like to try to get control, one of the things I suffered at the beginning of my brain injury is I had a idea of how my life worked, and I thought I was in control of things. And one of the rude awakenings for me after my brain injury is that all I ever really had was the illusion of control, yet being a controller can be one of my character defects, even still when I know better, that it creates disharmony and that in myself and sometimes in relationships with others. And my brain injury can't be excused. I mean, the end game is that I want to have a good relationship with myself and with others, obviously. And so obviously to me. And so something I've had to look at, aside from taking a day at a time recently, is this passage on acceptance. And I'll read it to you. "And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me. I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. Until I could accept myself, I could not come to terms with myself. Unless I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and in my attitude. A thought to consider: acceptance is not submission. It is acknowledgement of the facts of a situation, then deciding what you're going to do about it." Kind of butchered that, didn't I? "Acceptance is not a submission. It is acknowledgement of the facts of a situation, then deciding what you're going to do about it." So that's what I have to understand when I'm getting frustrated with the workmen, that the pace isn't going the way that I want it to go, that I'm feeling really overwhelmed with the amount of tasks in front of me right now that aren't coming easily and that are making me feel more agitated and emotional and feel grateful that I could show up here for my show tonight. One thing I do feel good about in the total loss in the midst of my illusion of control right now is the fact that I did book about a month's worth of guests knowing I was going to be going into mental, emotional, physical hell for a prolonged period of time. I did do some good research and get guests booked out for a month, month and a half that are all wonderful guests. I have dossiers on, and all I'll need to do is brief myself before the show. So hopefully I won't need to take time off in the middle of this chaos. I may fall asleep on you or start stuttering like I do when I'm tired, but I plan to be the keeper of the keys on hump night to let anyone into the chat room or the phone lines that needs to talk and to listen to these wonderful guests in the first hour who share their experience, strength, and hope with us. I think that's pretty awesome. Les Paul's been in the chat room like forever, and he hasn't called. So I'm going to guess that he got a phone call and he's just remained logged in. So he's really going to be brokenhearted when he plays the girl I know he has a crush on. I figured I've played a couple of the fellas, so I'm going to let the ladies even out. And this will make him cry when he knows that he missed it. But This is my very first indie, and just as my book was coming out, Leah was starting to get popular, and her book became the trailer, the video trailer to promote my book, and that's where we first met. And then when I became a host as a result of that book, I got a hold of her, and she was kind enough to give me permission to play her songs on Brain Injury Radio. So I want to give thanks to, and check her out on YouTube, has some really good CDs. This is Leah West, www.leahwest.com, or on Facebook, / Leah West. This is Speechless. Check her out. I'm content. You know, it's kind of funny. I usually come on Brain Injury Radio and participate. And while I've been really tired, I've come to Brain Injury Radio, but there's been some things I've needed to tend to, like I've packed, you know, done packing. And one night, well, I won't go into that, but there was just some personal things I had to take care of. And one night I was just laying on the couch, just laying out on the couch listening. So sometimes I guess I don't mind listening, although I was really always used to participating. So make sure to call in or put up your hand again if you want to chat at any time about anything, 424-243-9540. And otherwise, I'll assume that maybe you're sitting back in your easy chair or listening in the background, and I appreciate that just as much. I really like my indies, and my guests the last couple of weeks have been great, but they've stayed, you know, which I'm amazed. You never usually find a guest that's going to stay more than an hour, hour and a half, particularly if they're on the East Coast. It's like you really got to negotiate to get them to even come on at that time of night. The more professional, like a couple of the doctors in the last couple of weeks, that's a tough job to get done, and so I got to let them go. But a lot of people have stayed, you know, and we haven't really had a lot of the tunes, but it just makes me think each time I hear one of these songs, the relationship I've developed with hearing their music over the last couple years, I guess. I listen to all kinds of music on my off time, obviously, but this is part of building, you know. It's been a little over 2 years that our original six have been hosts, and we've been building our platform, our program, and it took a while, and I want to continue when I can stop and take a breath again, but, you know, being able to get some great indie artists that are willing to, let us play the music on the show. Obviously, they get some publicity, and I'm happy to give it because I've got a good playlist and happy to help. And you never know what those things lead to. And in the meantime, gives us all a place to hang for a while. And I had him a minute ago. I haven't heard him for a little while, but I like this guy a lot. And I'm not sure what he's doing these days. I'm going to have to look him up because I really like this song. It has a lot. I like a couple of his songs really well, but you just don't hear about him much. He's a New Yorker, and let's see. I could play the one I can think of off the top of my head that I like bestest, but maybe we'll play the other one and see about that. This is Kevin Harrison with Lost and Found.
Well, I'm not quite lost, but I'm not quite found. My head keeps spinning just around and round as I'm driving through this dead-end town, just to trying to figure things out. Cause I came to a crossroads and lost my nerve. Kept on going straight when I should've curved. Headlights coming for me, but I can't swerve round this roadblock of my doubt. So somebody stop me, somebody make this ride slow down. Yeah, somebody find me, somebody pick me up from the ground. Cause I've been falling down every mountain that I climbed, and now I'm stalling. Lord, I need just a little more time to find the answers that I seek. Cause right now I'm feeling weak. So somebody show me the man that I'm supposed to be. Well, should I be my father? Could I be myself? Should I even bother chasing after wealth? Or should I put my my dreams up on the shelf and never find what's inside of me. Cause I'm feeling like I don't belong. I'm feeling like there's one more song that when I try to write it just comes out wrong. Even if I'm right on key, somebody stop me. Somebody make this ride slow down. Can somebody find me? Somebody pick me up from the ground. I've been falling down every mountain that I climb. And now I'm stalling. Lord, I need just a little more time to find the answers that I seek. Cause right now I'm feeling weak. Somebody show me, show me the man that I'm supposed to be. Tired of treading water, I'm tired of losing ground. I'm tired of searching for myself inside the lost and found. I'm tired of keeping quiet, I'm tired of fitting in. I'm ready for the life I'm meant for to finally begin. So somebody stop me. Somebody make this ride slow down. Can somebody find me? Somebody pick me up from the ground. Cause I've been falling down every mountain that I climb. And now I'm stalling. Lord, I need just a little more time to find the answers that I seek. Cause right now I'm feeling weak. So somebody show me, show me the man that I'm supposed to be. Yeah, somebody show me, show me the man that I'm supposed to be.
That was KevinHarrisonMusic.com or on Facebook. /Kevin Harrison Music. And I could relate, not about the man part, but show me the person I'm supposed to be. Geez, I was praying for that before I got my brain injury, and then I had to start all over with a new deck of cards. Help me find the person I'm supposed to be. And we do that by trial and error, faith and hope, and moving forward, don't we? But in that, we have good days and bad days, like Gary Nicholson wrote about.
Everybody wants to know how I get along in these dark days. Sometimes I'm fine, sometimes I'm dying, stumbling through one step at a time. I have good days, bad days, sunshine and rain. I have good days, bad days, but past all behind, and I'm all right till sundown again. Then I'm right back where I've always been. I have good days, bad days, sunshine.
That was Gary Nicholson, and as some of you guys know, he's a two-time Grammy award winner out of Tennessee. And actually, interestingly enough, in the blues area, he writes a lot of country, but happened to be the blues. And so I was going to tell you, GaryNicholson.com or Facebook.com, Gary Nicholson Music, NICHOLSON, Gary Nicholson Music on Facebook. He's pretty cool. So we've been playing some good tunes. I suppose it must be time for a girl again. Looks like I've had some boys, so I'm going to try to split up the boys and girls a little bit. Let's see, I could go back. I was informed that he wasn't feeling very well. Actually, you know, this is a girl. This is a girl who has a spinal, she was a young, beautiful model, tall, drink of water, blonde, and was in an accident, wound up in a wheelchair for the rest of her life. Bree is her name. Beautiful girl, beautiful spirit. And in this song, she's not a musician, but Donald Blackbox, who owns Spirit Wind Records, has about 32 Native American artists under his contract. They were raising some money for Bree because she was involved in a fire. Thank God the neighbors saved her life, but her wheelchair burned up. And it was irretrievable, and she has to have it. You can't, like, go without that for a week or whatever. And so Medicaid, as it were, I guess, only will give you one of those, like, every couple, 5 years. I don't know. Not when you need them, but, like, on a time schedule thing. So they're pricey when they're have a motor on them and all of that business. And so Donald Blackbox was kind enough to get a group of his musicians together to do a CD, the proceeds of which went to buy Bree an outstanding in purple, her favorite color, chair, new chair. And in one of the songs, Bree actually wrote it. She took a stab at writing music, and then she plays the piano. And so I'm going to play Bree with Bound Angel. What a handle, Earthbound Angel, and she is. Thank you. That was Bree, our earthbound angel. And like I said, she truly is. Wow, sounds like a flying saucer coming over the house. I wonder what it's going to be like. We're in the air path. What do you call that? I'm getting tired. The flight path of to Offutt Air Force Base. And I'm used to hearing these planes for the last 6 years, but I wonder if we're going to be out of the flight path. We might hear quiet sometimes now. Won't that be interesting? I have really enjoyed, though, you know, you look back at things you'll miss and then look forward with hope and adventure. And one of the things that I'll miss is, even though it shakes the house, we're far away. We're like 30 miles away, but those planes come in, big bad boys. They're down low with the gear down by the time they come over to Stratcom and off it. And it's been very interesting to see some pretty wild looking planes, to be sure. And so we'll see if that changes. And that'll be part of the adventure. We'll hear what the new sounds are. Don't all the places you go have new sounds? And then you kind of get used to the, you kind of absorb it. The sounds might sound weird to you at first. And then when you've been somewhere or around somewhere a lot, work, your surroundings, your home, it adapts to its own unique noises. And then it just kind of blends in to your background field, I guess, and it doesn't seem as profound. That wasn't the word I was looking for, but who's counting at this hour, right? I like this. You know, I love Chris Dukes. He does that very awesome. Encourage you, if you haven't and you're near YouTube, to go to YouTube and search. I'm not going to play that song. I'm going to play a different one by him, but awesome video. If you're a patriot and you go to YouTube to the search little window thing, type in three words, Chris Dukes, D as in dog, U-K-E-S, third word, Heroes, H-E-R-O-E-S, Chris Dukes Heroes. And it's an awesome video to go with the song he wrote called Heroes. I play that. Well, I'm probably not going to play it tonight, but I do want to thank our veterans, of which my guest earlier, Rick Rosario, was one, and he's trying to help veterans in his way. We want to thank all of our veterans for their service, and check out the video Heroes on YouTube, and that's dedicated to you, whether that video happens to be Afghanistan, Iraq, some of the wars we were talking about tonight, but I know we've got a lot of Vietnam vets as well. So I think you'll still appreciate what the video has to say. So check out Chris Dukes Heroes. And in the meantime, this is Chris singing a song called Reasons.
And the more that it rolls, I lose more layers in sight. Here comes a breakdown, that's just what I need. Another shot in the dark, hope the monster feeds. Is there an answer? Is there a way? Keep falling down. I have a hold tight to this moment, yeah.
head and knows nothing. Is there a way? I have faith. Says, hold tight to this moment. Says, I have faith to make amends, but it comes. Why hold tight to the moment? Tell me your reasons, your reasons. There are some reasons.
That was Reasons by Chris Dukes. And like I said, you can find him at ChrisDukesBand.com or on Facebook / Chris Dukes Band. And be sure to check him out. Now, let's see. I'm near the H's, being in the K's, kind of. So I think what I'm going to do is play, yeah, I got you with Where is the Hump Day Host from earlier, but now we're going to have Honey Boy Turner Blues tell you about it in 3 minutes and 49 seconds. We'll be back as we wind down toward the end of the show, and I want to thank you, particularly Allie, Les Paul, Jenny, for participating in the interview earlier, and all of those of you who listen to Recovery Now and Brain Injury Radio. I want to thank Lash Publishing for sponsoring Recovery Now and TBI Survivor Network for sponsoring Brain Injury Radio. This is Honey Boy Turner with Blues for Omaha.
Thank you. got to town with a pocket full of money. Went to my baby's house, she sure was acting funny. Woke up this morning, my baby, my money, and my car were gone. I'm sitting here wondering what to tell my wife when I get home. Woke up this morning with them blues for Omaha. Woke up this morning with them blues for Omaha. Ain't got no bus ticket, and damn it, my baby ran off with my car.
Yeah, honey boy, honey boy. Let me see. I'm sorry. That was the Blues for Omaha, the Blues for Omaha. And that was Honey Boy Turner Band. You can find them if you want to hear more. ReverbNation.com/Honey Boy Turner Band, or they have their own website, of course, www.honeyboyturner.com. Great song, great guy, well traveled. He gets around with his music. Well, we have about, pardon me, 8 minutes left, but I'm going to just thank everybody. I'm going to start stuttering soon. And just tired. The girl's tired. As we brain injury people get. But I hope you enjoyed our guest, Rick Rosio, today. And that you will definitely check out the website. I had it right here. Of course, I let it get away from me. veteransforcompassionatecare.org, veteransforcompassionatecare.org, and check out their piece for Claire. Looking forward to my guest next week, Rick, who will talk about TBI and addictions. And I want to thank our sponsors and all of you who support benefit and are here, just all of you that are here, whether you're an interested party, a brain injury survivor, a neuroprofessional, or just someone who wants to be educated on something that's been the elephant in the room or swept under the rug for way too long. I'm going to close the show tonight in the usual way, and that's with something I believe we all have, and also because it was just Mother's Day, and for those of you that didn't know who might be listening, my Nana, who's in hospice and is living on borrowed time, as Garfan said, did make it to her 94th birthday just a couple of days before Mother's Day. So good night to everybody. God bless. And just remember that you all have a guardian angel, too.
as you grow and make your